Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Encounter Church, how y'all doing this morning? Make sure you just wave at me on Facebook or something, whatever you need to do. I really like that text to give. That's just something that I've discovered even before we began the streaming exclusivity. It's actually the easiest way to tithe I've ever encountered, so I'm really psyched on it. And before we get into the message, I do want to let you know that we are praying for you. You can go to our ecdenver.org/prayer, leave your prayer requests. We're monitoring that. We're praying for you. But I also want to brag on you. I have heard so many amazing stories of people in our church really reaching out to their neighbors, and that's what we need right now. We don't need people that have decided that they're just going to, you know, cower in fear in their basement. I grew up in tornado country, and that's what you'd do when a tornado would come. You'd cower in fear in your basement, but that's not the season that we need to be in now. We need to be prudent. We need to be wise. We need to be following the recommendations of our government, but that doesn't mean we can't look for creative ways. I know of a lady that loaned a laptop to somebody who was going to be laid off unless they could work from home. I know somebody else who had scheduled some maintenance work for their automobile because their mechanic, who's a small business owner here in Denver, he was concerned that, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And it's like, hey, I can get my work done at his shop rather than at the big, commercial shop because he really does need my funds. I know somebody else who delivered groceries to one of their seniors in the neighborhood. And I've heard multiple people who've sent emails to people in their HOA and other places offering their services to go to stores, to help people out, to go run, get prescriptions for people. And I'm just really proud of you. I know that this is an incredible opportunity that we have to go out and share Jesus in love with all of our neighbors, all of our community, all of our coworkers, maybe not face-to-face or hand-to-hand, but we can still show people that God is, and he loves them, and he's got a great plan for them. You know, speaking of plans, the message that the Holy Spirit put on my heart this morning for you, and for us, I should say, is which plan will we follow? Now, at Encounter Church, we have I won't call it a commandment, but a strong recommendation that people take out pen and paper or their phones or some way to write down what the Holy Spirit speaks to you about what I'm about to share. Because, you know, I wrote this message, but it's God who really wants to use it to touch your life. And there are some things for you that are about to be revealed that are important for you to record and apply and walk away from. So go ahead and get that out. And when I was thinking of this title, I was thinking about the situation we're in. We're in uncharted territory for most of us. We've never experienced anything like this. But I want to assure you that there's no reason to worry because our Father has been successfully leading his children through rough seasons for years, and this situation is no different. Our guide knows where he's going, and we just need to follow him. If you've ever been on a group trip or one of those tours where the guide holds up one of those little flags and waves it at you, right now God is waving a little flag and saying, hey, everybody, we're walking, we're going this way, let's follow him. And that is so important. And so to encourage us, I want to talk about a time when God led his children. Now, the story I'm going to be sharing from, or the stories, come out of Exodus chapters 14 and 15. Now, there's a lot of reading, but go ahead and open up your Bibles. Go ahead and get them up on your apps. And what has happened is the children of Israel have experienced miraculous deliverance from their slavery in Egypt. And they've left. They've been blessed. The Egyptians gave them a lot of stuff. They left with a high hand, as Pastor Wally says. And they're on their way to the promised land. And then this happens, and we're at Exodus 14, first verse. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-hahiroth. That's a word in Hebrew that means gate of the gorges. I looked that up. Between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, and you should highlight this. This is the important part. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And so the Israelites camped there as they were told. There's two truths in every situation. Doesn't matter if it's this situation, a year from now, 10 years from now. Satan will have a plan. and God will have a plan. And it's up to us to decide whose plan will we follow. It's up to us to decide. Going to follow Satan? Going to follow God? The Israelites are following God because God has a purpose for every challenge that we face. And in this situation, God's purpose is for the Egyptians to know that Jehovah, Yahweh, really is the God of heaven and earth. He's wanting to reveal himself to people who don't know him. And I believe in the midst of this, that God did not create this virus. God did not, he is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of death and destruction. Our enemy is, but he sure knows how to use it. And his plan in the midst of this is to reveal that Jehovah is God to a lot of people who are looking for hope. Let's continue on our message. It skipped down to the 10th verse, and it says, as Pharaoh approached, and so you could see the armies coming up, the people looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? This is the important part. We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves. Let us be slaves. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Leave us alone? Let us be slaves? How deceived do you have to be to say something like that, when God has just demonstrated through plagues and the Passover and the burning bush, miracle after miracle, miracle deliverance, miracle protection, miracle stuff. How messed up in your thinking do you have to be to cry out just a few short days later, God, leave me alone, I'd rather be a slave. This is the point in their life that panic has caused them to go crazy. I mean, really, panic has caused them to go crazy, and fear has completely distorted their reality. They have forgotten who God is. I mean, you know, seriously, when you're saying, I'm going to die because a bunch of Egyptians are about to pin me against the Red Sea, when God has just struck down the firstborn, I mean, you really have got to just completely buy into a deception. They've forgotten who God is, but more importantly to me, they have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten that they're the covenant children of Abraham. They've forgotten that God has spoke promises to them that they are going to be, you know, lifted out of slavery after 400 years. They're literally living in the manifestation of a biblical prophecy that they knew. They knew that this was what the word said, that after 400 years, they would come out of slavery, and then they would go into the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham, the patriarch. And yet they didn't recognize when God was moving in their midst. They were not born to be a slave. There is nothing in Scripture that says, children of Abraham, your destiny is to be a slave in Egypt. That's the best that you can hope for. And Encounter Church, the children of God that we are, there is nothing in his promises that say that we were born to be slaves either. We're not meant to be slaves to sin. We're not meant to be slaves to fear, and we're not meant to be slaves to our past. We are meant to become and be children of God. In essence, the whole purpose for the challenges we face, the whole purpose for following God in the midst of these struggles is so that we overcome and become. We overcome and we become. Now, what God was doing in the Jewish nations, he was having them overcome the Egyptians. He was having them overcome their slave mentality. He was having them overcome their insecurities. He was having them learn to trust him, not in themselves, not in their own abilities, not in their own weapons. They were slaves. They didn't have any weapons. Nobody had taught them to fight. He was teaching them to trust his voice and to follow without exception. Because by following him, they were always going to walk in a safe path and a place of security. And the reason he was doing that is so that they would become the nation of Israel they were intended to be. How much more confident should we be that we're going to overcome whatever we're facing in the midst of this whole COVID-19 situation? We should be absolutely assured to the core of our soul that if instead of following Satan's plan, we follow God's plan, if we listen to his still small voice, if we look for his leading in Scripture and in our quiet times and in our worship times together, that he's going to show us not only what it is we're going to overcome, but I believe he's revealing to you and to me and to people all around what it is we're supposed to become. We're supposed to become something different at the end of this whole crisis than we were at the beginning. And what it is someone who's more committed to God, more trusting in the Father, more loving towards others, less afraid for ourselves, and less concerned that we're not going to have enough because all of heaven is made available to us. That's the question we have for ourselves today. What is God wanting us to become? Let's continue. Verse 14, but Moses said to the people, again, this is after they've gone crazy, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. I love that passage. Why are you crying out to me? Get up, walk, go do something. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. But there's two things I want you to take away from this part of the story. As we're talking about, you know, becoming what God wants us to do by rejecting the plan of Satan and following the plan of God. The first is, if we want to follow God, we need to hear the voice of the shepherd, not the bleating of the sheep. Okay? You need to hear the voice of the shepherd, not the bleating of the sheep. Because the sheep are just sitting around going, baa, 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 baa. You know, I was watching a headline, and it said, you know, cases of corona double. And, you know, it was, oh, my gosh, the world's coming to an end. And I thought, well, yeah, but that also means that the mortality rate has been cut in half. How about we lead with that particular piece of news? But that's not what's happening out there. I mean, there's a lot of things. This is a serious situation. I'm not making light of it, but I'm trying to pull back and say, look, if we let the people who are panicking and in fear guard what we're going to believe, we're going to miss what God is doing. Again, we need to cooperate, but we don't need to be sitting around talking about, you know, it'd be better if we'd never followed Jesus and we just, you know, we went back to Egypt and we went back to eating leeks and onions. No, we were never intended to be slaves. We were intended to be people in whom God demonstrates his love, power, and grace. And we become a magnet and a place of attraction. We're people that folks can email us and say, hey, look, I'm out of whatever. Can you share with me? And we don't, you know, oh, nope. I don't have enough to share. I just got enough for me and mine. We're people who, when others are saying, you know, what's going to happen? We rise up and say, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get through this. There's going to be some bad things happen. We know that, but there's a grace for every season. And God is going to set us free because we're going to keep trusting in him. There's a new prayer movement that the Association of Related Churches is putting out, you know, and it's really about people seeking God, the 714, and we'll probably be posting a link for you to join with it, but it's people to join every week and make, you know, the same confessions that our God is going to turn this thing around. That's what we need to be doing, listening to the voice of the shepherd, not the bleating of the sheep. And the second thing I want to share with you is that, you know, there's that amazing, you know, scene of Charlton Heston, you know, yelling out when raising his staff, stand still. This is from the Ten Commandments, the old movie, if you don't know the reference. Stand still and see the deliverance of your God. But God didn't want the children of Israel to stand still. He wanted them to take steps and begin to put their feet into the water and cross over because that was his will. And the point of this is the second thing I wanted to bring out of this particular passage is that sometimes waiting means walking. Sometimes God wants us to take some steps of faith. I was really impressed with a restaurant in downtown Denver. Well, restaurant may be an exaggeration. What they are, they're a wine place where you can go in and sample really expensive wines. It's not a place that I frequent. But they had a really strong niche market, and a lot of the, you know, the kind of trendy, hip people downtown would go down there and have a glass of wine and a whatever you have with wine. But they got shut down because there's no indoor restaurants in Denver right now. Well, the owners, you know, realized that, well, we're not going to make any money, you know, having sit-down wine dinners. What are we going to do? And so they opened up, this is beautiful, they opened up a takeout fried chicken restaurant where people could come in and order fried chicken. Now, what fried chicken has to do with wine, I have absolutely no idea. But the reviewer I read said, hey, this stuff's pretty good, and I don't know where they got the recipe. But that's what I'm talking about. Let's look for creative ways. If we're in the middle of what we think is an impossible situation, look for God to show you which way to walk. Maybe you need to open up a fried chicken restaurant. Maybe God's going to show you how you can connect with your customers online. I know that I was talking to a personal trainer that's beginning to do online workouts, and you know, and so for a small fee, you can join him in the mornings, going you know I want to pump you up or whatever it is that you need to do. That there are all kinds of opportunities for us to find paths that God is going to show us that are His paths. And they will bring provision into our lives. They'll bring hope into our lives. They're going to bring His will into our lives instead of just standing still and saying, there's no hope and there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. Follow your God. He will lead you, and He is safe. He is safe to follow. All right. So the story continues. You've all seen that. They cross the Red Sea. They get to the other side. You open up chapter 15. The very last thing that closes in chapter 14 is this verse. And it says, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before Him. They were filled with awe. Now, again, you know, sometimes we judge these people. I don't think that's fair. And they put their faith in the Lord and His servant Moses. But recognize, these are people who came out of multi-generational slavery. You know, they had been, you know, praying and observing the sacraments of God for 400 years in Egypt, but they hadn't seen, you know, the incredible delivering power of God. And so there had become sort of a cultural malaise that had settled into the people. They just didn't know if they could trust God. And yet time and time again, God was demonstrating His love and power to them so that He could assure them that He was trustworthy. But sometimes it takes a while to really buy in. And this is what happens. Their enthusiasm didn't last. In fact, the first half of chapter 15 is this incredible prayer, this incredible psalm, this incredible adoration unto God. And I encourage you to read it. It really is something that it wouldn't hurt you to read it every single day for the next 7 days as you remind yourself, which plan am I going to follow? Because what happens is sometimes God does something for us and then we forget. And that's what happens to the children of Israel here. Verse 22 of chapter 15. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days. So they're 3 days from the miracle of the Red Sea without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. And the people complained and turned against Moses, which is funny because, you know, what, 14 verses earlier, they said they put their faith in Moses. But what are we going to drink, they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. I know that if I sat down with most of you and said, give me one miracle, one answer to prayer that God has brought about in your life, and every answer to prayer is a miracle, just in case you didn't know it. Something God has done for you. You prayed and you saw God happen. God, do it. And if I ask you that, I know you could all tell me. Most of you could tell me. You'd say, oh, I remember when I prayed for my son and this happened. I remember when I was going through a bad situation with my wife and God turned it around. I remember when my job was stalled and God did this. I remembered when I didn't know what to do about a car and God showed me how to get it fixed for half of what I thought it was going to cost. I know that we have these miracles, but we forget. And what happens is we become just like the Israelites at that place of Marah. And that's when we need to remember and remind ourselves of the goodness of God so that we keep building up our faith. The second thing I want you to remember is just because it's a bitter place doesn't mean it's not blessed. Just because God leads you to a place where there's some bitterness doesn't mean His intent is not to turn that thing around and turn it into a blessed place. turn it into a prosperous place. And that's just what he did with Moses here. He takes this piece of wood, it says, and just drops it in the water. And literally, it supernaturally changes the water of this oasis from bitter to sweet. And so my question is, what does God want to do in your life if you're at a bitter place to turn it into sweet? Does he want you to step out into forgiveness? To forgive people that might not really need it? You know, Sarah and I we had a date Friday night sitting on the couch watching a rented movie. We rented the new, I guess it's a year old, Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks, which is all about forgiveness. I would recommend that movie. It's a really encouraging movie. I liked it, but I grew up with Mr. Rogers, and so I can say that. But maybe God in this season wants you to sow some forgiveness so that your Mara becomes sweet. Maybe God has led you to this place to overcome and become. And part of that transformation is learning how to stand on the promises of God, to learn how to pray and confess the word, to not freak out. You know, I was having coffee before they sort of shut all the coffee shops down last week with a friend, and they had gone through a number of financial ups and downs in their life. And we were sort of talking about all the miracles that God had done in his life, and he was anxious. He was anxious about the stock market, and you know, we sort of began to remind ourselves, well, you remember when we lost all that money in 2001? Oh yeah, man, we thought that was bad. And then we were sort of talking about, well, you remember when we lost all that money in 2007 and 2008? Oh yeah, man, that was bad. Well, why do we think that God's not going to be able to bring our money back because the stock market's down 30%? Why is this crisis any different than the crises he and I had been through? We were even in the 1987, 88, don't remember when it was, the day the market dropped 500 points when 500 points was a big number. I mean, we've seen God do these things, and we just sat there across this table encouraging each other about all the times that God had delivered us and telling ourselves not to freak out just because the market has a correction over a week. I mean, that's the thing. We need prayer and confessions. Maybe God is going to want you to sow a seed. Help a missionary out. Help a church out. Help, you know, whatever out. But sow a seed for your future. And he's brought you to this Mara place so that it can become a sweet place. But he's going to ask you to take a step of faith. And that might include investing in someone else. The issue is, what is your piece of wood? Because it's a bitter place doesn't mean it's not intended to be blessed. You know, I went to high school with some people, actually college, come to think of it. And they were mahalo hippie type peoples, and they went on a bender one weekend and ran off and got married, and everybody thought they were crazy. You know, or their friends thought they were crazy. We all thought they were crazy. The funny thing happened is shortly after they got married, one of them got saved. And then shortly after they got saved, their spouse got saved. And so there's no question that the relationship was a Mara relationship. There's no question that when you're trying to build a marriage on the fact that, you know, well, never mind what they were building it on. But the point of it is, it was a bitter place. But because they invited Jesus into it, because they were willing in some cases to repent and to sow forgiveness and to put God first, God was able to take what looked like a hopeless situation and turn that into a decades-long, blessed covenant relationship. They've got grandkids they celebrate. I think soon they'll have great-grandkids. The point of all this is that God is doing amazing things in our life to help us overcome and become as we learn to follow him. Because ultimately, this is where he wants to lead us. This is Exodus 15, the end of chapter 20, or verse 25 on. It says that it was there at Mara that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is the place where the Israelites first discover that he is Jehovah Rapha. And after leaving Mara, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there beside the water. We read that today, and it's like, oh, they found a Instagram-worthy picture. That's what they did. They came upon 12 springs and 70 palm trees. Let's stand there and do a selfie. What they found was prosperity. What they found was provision. What they found was peace and security. What they found was a promise that if they would just follow the plan of God, they needn't fear bitter waters or plagues that would fall by night or anything else. If they would just follow God, because he would keep them safe and he would lead them if they would trust him. And in the end, that's what God wants us to do. Yeah, we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have situations. This will not be the last crisis in your life, I absolutely assure you. You're going to have a crisis next year and the year after and maybe 5 years and maybe 100 years. You know, should he tarry, as they used to say. We're going to have crises. But the God of heaven and earth, the God who is more than enough, our Yahweh, our Jehovah Shalom, our El Shaddai, our Jehovah Rapha, he wants us to learn to follow him so that we overcome and become the people who completely trust him. And we hear his still small voice that says, go pray for your neighbor. I want you to see healing come into their life. The still small voice that says, somebody is crying tonight at home because they feel bitter and alone, and I want you to text them or call them or FaceTime them or do whatever. I want you to connect with them so that they know that I hear the anguish of their hearts. He wants us to become the people who are generous and forgiving, and that we don't hold the offenses of people close, but we let them go. We just let them go. And if we do that, he will lead each of us to our own individual Elims, our own individual places of blessing and prosperity. And maybe they won't have 12 springs and 70 palm trees, but I guarantee you it'll be that still water that Psalm 23 talks so much about. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because we don't need to. There's nothing to fear. We're the children of God. We weren't intended to be slaves in Egypt. We were intended to rule and reign in the kingdom of God. And that's my prayer for each of us. And that's my prayer for you. You know, if you're watching this message and in your heart you realize that you need a closer relationship with Jesus, you need a closer relationship with God, I want to encourage you, that's not hard. In fact, that's easy. All you've got to do is just invite him into your life. That's all you got to do. He says that he stands outside and knocks, and he's asking to come in. And it's up to us to open the door and say, Jesus, become my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of following the sheep. I want to start following the shepherd. So I just pray for you right now, that in Jesus' name, that you would just say, Father, forgive me. I've made mistakes. I'm tired of following the wrong path. Lead me in the right one. I invite you into my life. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm asking you, if you would please, to go ahead and post a comment on Facebook or YouTube. If that's uncomfortable, again, go to that ecdenver.org/prayer, or you can email me, reeceb@ecdenver.org. Any of those are fine. We just want to connect with you and let you know we're here for you. If you've got a need or something and you're saying, you know, what am I going to do? Don't panic. The church has resources. You know, contact us. We can either direct you towards a place that we know that there's a provision, or maybe we can even meet that ourselves. One of our team members this week, she was so precious. This was so touching to me. We were just, you know, talking about, again, the whole toilet paper thing, and I was just kind of checking with some of the staff. Hey, is everybody here on our team? You guys all have toilet paper? And she said, well, I could use a roll. And I said, well, you're all right. And she said, well, I'm down to tissues. She was literally using tissues because she didn't have any. I said, darling, you don't have to. I mean, this is crazy. And she looks up, she goes, oh, Pastor, I can't take the church's toilet paper. And I thought, honey, you are the church. I mean, this is what we're here for. And we want to be here for you. We love you. God bless you. We encourage you to keep checking online. Pastor Cade is posting things for the family. We are moving our small groups and many of our meetings to Zoom or another similar streaming type group meeting. And so you need to be checking your inbox. You need to be checking the website. If you get an email from Encounter Church, please read it. There's probably information you need to see. You can forget about all of the other spam. Our stuff's not spam. We love you. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.